Welcome to BizRocket Radio with Stone Payton and John Baker. John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. And now, get ready for BizRocket Radio. Here's Stone Payton and John Baker.
Good morning and welcome to BizRocket Radio. This is a show where we get a chance to interview executives and business owners here in the Atlanta area, learn a little bit from their experiences, some of the challenges that they've had, as well as some of the successes. And this morning, we've got Jeremy Porter in the studio. Jeremy is the CEO of Atlanta Motorsport Park. And I'm, as a driving enthusiast, excited to have Jeremy in and grill him about this new country club for gearheads. So welcome in, Jeremy.
Good morning. Thanks for the opportunity.
My pleasure. So, Jeremy, maybe you could give us a little bit of background on kind of where you came from. I got a chance to read up on your bio. Looks like you've done all sorts of cool things. So give us a little update on that.
Well, I've been in organizational development or business strategy now for about 13 years, and parallel to that, I've been also into motorsports, all sorts of motorsports. Anything with a motor pretty much is good for me.
If it run, you win it, right?
That's right. From dirt bikes to carts to cars to two-wheel, you name it. Anything that'll probably hurt you a little bit.
That's right. So tell us a little bit about Atlanta Motorsport Park. I know that this has been in the works for a while, and I know there's been kind of ups and downs and ebbs and flows, and where are you with this thing?
You know, it's been a lot of faith-building experience, to say the least. We started in about October of 2008. We started the zoning process, land selection, things of that nature. And we started construction about 19 months ago. Regrettably, we've lost about 8 months to ridiculous weather like this weather now.
Yeah,
we've been trying to pave about 800 feet of track. We have 1,097 feet left for about 3 weeks, and the weather's really gotten us. You know, right now we are about 95% complete. We have 1,097 feet left to pave. The guardrail is going up. The buildings are completed. The debris fence, which is a Formula One debris fence, is going in, and all the storm water systems are in, all the retention ponds, all the retaining walls, all the fun stuff that's hard to do. So we could be done in 2 to 3 weeks if we had the weather.
Wow. Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah.
So tell us about this track. I mean, the concept is kind of almost a country club for driving enthusiasts, right?
Yeah, it's, you know, our tagline is why buy a fast car that you can't drive fast. And 75% of our members are your neighbors that own a sports car that want a place to drive it fast and legal. It's not, you know, somebody that's a diehard racer or watching speed TV. It's just somebody that owns that sports car. So just like a golf country club membership, you can buy a membership with us. And instead of a golf course, we have a road course with winding left and right turns, elevation changes. And then also we've got a go-kart track there as well for kids 4 years up to 70 or 80 year olds.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good stuff.
We'll have to put your two-year-old in a kart.
Oh, man, you're killing me. You're killing me. Now, where are you guys located?
We're about 8 miles behind the Outlet Mall off 400 in Dawsonville, Georgia, in the city limits.
Okay. And what's the process of going about and learning about the track? If somebody wanted to go out, is just the website, or what's the best way to go check it out?
Well, first, we encourage people to go to the website. We have something like 121 pages. I'm an information nut, so we've got a lot of information out there. And then secondarily, I like to sit down with people one-on-one at the track or for coffee somewhere, and then tell them about the business, answer all the questions, and then drive them around to see the facility. So it's very much, we're trying to have very much good customer service or touch with each of the customers.
So describe for me some of the amenities. I mean, if again, as a driving enthusiast, what would I get if I was a member out there?
Well, let me say this. Part of our culture is we're trying to bring the family unit back together and make a place that's conducive for that. So in that sense, we have a pool, indoor-outdoor play area. We have a hiking trails. We have a tennis court with a basketball court on it. Horseback riding, a little putting green. There's all sorts of different things. So if dad is out there on the track playing, or mom is, and a lot of times mothers do, it's funny, a lot more than you'd suspect, or the kids are, there's something for someone else to do. And they can come back when they're done driving on the big track or the kart track and bring everybody back to the restaurant or hang out in the clubhouse, whatever have you. So that's really what we're trying to do with the amenities, is make it a well-rounded business, unlike a lot of different other hobbies that tend to separate the family and they take a long time all day.
So it would almost be an all-day event. I mean, it's like you're going up to the track. It's maybe you're not going around to the corner pool or going to the golf club that's 5 minutes away. It might be a little bit longer trip for people. Mm-hmm. So you can almost make a full day of it.
Yeah, you could, and the outlet malls are there. There's all sorts of bed and breakfast. There's vineyards and all sorts of different things out there that a lot of people don't know. Amicalola, Anna Ruby, a lot of things that the family can do outside of that business. And, you know, a great place to shop is the outlet mall, of course.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun, and it really is a good experience. Now, a secondary part of it is a lot of people will bring a client up there. You know, everybody brings clients hunting, fishing, golfing, and all those different things, and there's no real differentiator between you and your competitors. If you can't get a client on the phone, which is usually the first and most difficult part, a simple message of, hey, I'm headed to my motorsports country club to drive my Porsche or Corvette or whatever have you around a track, I'd like to see if you'd like to come. They'll call you back.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So, you know, it's a way to really cement relationships with clients and have something that's different, something that breaks down barriers, something that's entertaining. And then the ripple effect that happens is when they communicate what they did with you, you know, they communicate it to other people that may be potential clients as well. So mm-hmm. It's very much a powerful juggernaut as it relates to marketing. And then secondarily, you know, if you're standing in a group of 10 people, 8 of those people are the check writers that people are trying to get to, the CEOs, the board members, the celebrities, the, athletes. We've got a lot of famous athletes and celebrities there that have already joined.
So what's, is there a limit from a membership standpoint? Are you taking a certain number that you can only hit a certain amount and then close it off?
That's a good question. The national average is 350 to 450 members at these country clubs. We have presently 115. We have a little bit of segregation in our memberships. There's 60 days a year that are just the diamond members. That's the top level membership. 120 days a year that it's the diamond and the platinum. And then the rest of the year, it's all three. So we really theoretically could have more than the national average, 350 to 450. Average attendance, to give you an idea with all memberships combined, is 15 to 30 people during the week and 30 to 50 on the weekends with gusts up to 100. So what we call seat time is being on a bike or in a car. You get more seat time than you can physically or financially handle if you show up at 10 a.m. You're gone by 12 or 1.
Right, so, right. So maybe you could break down those levels again. You went through them kind of quick. I think you called it crystal and a couple of what? Tell me what those are about.
All sorts of minerals.
That's right.
The diamond membership, we have 3 of those left at the founding level membership. And basically that includes the husband and wife and all the kids under 21. No fees and dues for life. And it's saleable and transferable. And it's $40,000. And it gets you 180 days a year, 48 of which are weekend days. When those 3 are gone, it'll be $50,000, one person, plus fees and dues, no saleability and transferability. So it's like buying multiple memberships and buying a very powerful membership that could potentially be something that you could make money on in the future. Now, I'm not promising that ever.
Right.
But if a family of three comes in 5 years from now, they have to buy three memberships at $50,000 apiece, $150,000, and it's not saleable and transferable, or they could buy yours for $150,000, and it is. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a pretty easy decision.
Hmm.
The step down from that is a platinum membership. It's $17,500. It's no fees and dues for 1 year. It's for one person, 120 days a year, 24 of which are weekend days. When the six that we have left are gone, we will go to $25,000 plus fees and dues, no saleability and transferability. Then the bottom one is a tungsten. It's $8,000. It's fees and dues once we open, 60 days a year, 12 of which are weekend days.
Gotcha.
No one's going to use 60 days, let alone 180. What you're buying as you move up is flexibility, no fees and dues, saleability and transferability, and then at the top level, exclusivity, where it's just you and the other people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I'll tell you, we've been very blessed. We have sold seven memberships in 6 days, 450,000 in 45 days, and we are at a little over $3 million in membership sales thus far. And we've leased out every rental garage in phase one. We have over 1 million in sponsors. And we have leased out every non-member track day weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, for the entire year with 2 to 3 backups on each weekend. So it's been
Now, what's the non-member awesome. Track day? Is that something that you have clubs and stuff that will come in and drive there, or how does that work?
Yeah, basically it's NASA, which is National Auto Sports Association for the non-racing community. It's Sports Car Club of America, Porsche Club of America, Sport Bike Track Time, WIRA, NESBA, you name it. And then a lot of manufacturers come in during the week, so we've rented a lot of weekdays as well.
Mm-hmm.
They want a pro-level track, and there's not many tracks really like this in the world because of the track designer. We've been very, again, blessed and honored to have this track designer. It's a pretty big boon for us and the drivers that will be on the track.
How long is the track?
The big track is 2 miles, if you count our cut-throughs, which most people do.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 2.35. The kart track is also an autocross track. It's 0.79 of a mile, and it has 43 feet of elevation change. And to give you perspective for the people that know this track, Road Atlanta from turn 12 underneath the bridge from turn 11 underneath the bridge to turn 12 is about 40 feet.
Mm. That's a hill.
Yeah.
That's a big, bad, nasty little hill.
Yeah, one section in the car track, it actually comes down 43 feet and straight back up within 750 feet. It's going to be scary.
That's awesome. Yeah. So what kind of, this is, people that are coming out, many of which maybe have not driven much or are looking for instruction. Are you going to have instructors out there? Is that a job that I can apply for? Can I go up there on weekends and I'll give some of my time to have some of the dues taken care of?
Well, you know, about 60% of my emails are people falling on the sword for that position.
Yeah, so, I'll fall on one more for you there.
We will have instruction because 75% of our members have never been on a track.
Really?
Yep.
And
it's just people that own a sports car and want a place to drive fast and safe. Now, a statistic that will shock you, 13 years of these being in business, only two trades of paint. Excuse me. Only two trades of paint no deaths, no serious injuries. And why that
guard
is...
Guardrails?
Yeah.
I mean, guardrails.
Well, you can't fix stupid, I'm sure.
Yeah, no, you cannot.
You get somebody in a high horsepower car that
early in, early out.
That's right. But, you know, there are people that do hit some of that, but no real major damage. But we will have driving instruction. It'll be Skip Barber Racing School.
Okay.
And it'll be in your car. And you'll get instruction, you know, from those people. But the beauty of it is you're around a lot of pro-level racers, a lot of different-level racers, that you can say, hey, jump in the car with me. Give me some instruction. So everybody, the culture in one of these things is unlike anything that you've experienced before. It's very tight-knit. Everybody's very friendly. It's a different subculture that unless you've experienced racing, or motorsports, there's nothing like it. And I've done a lot of different hobbies. The thing that I missed the most when I stopped racing was just hanging out with the guys and the banter and you know, what were you doing in the runoff trap? Did your, you know, I won't say that, your high heels get stuck? You know, all the driving instructor comments that you always hear. But it's a lot of fun, and there is a lot of opportunity to learn, and it is, you know, safe and legal. So it gives people a place to stretch the legs of their car. One of our taglines is, why buy a fast car that you can't drive fast?
Right, yeah.
You know, now you can go get a GT3.
That's right. That's next on my Christmas list. I haven't quite got it yet. The GT2, maybe not.
Yeah, yeah.
GT3 is a little better for the track use. So how about, and this may be something some of the listeners aren't familiar with, but a lot of times on tracks you'll have people that are positioned at each corner that might be blind. Do you guys have corner workers that are out there? Is it something where you have a certain number of cars on the track at the same time? How are you organizing that?
Well, it's a certain number of cars on the track at one time. There's corner workers, and then also we have a Formula One lighting system going around the track. So we'll be the first track with this technology here in America. And the track was built to FIA safety standards. We're one of the very few because of the track designer, and I'd love to tell you about that in a little bit. But with this track designer, you know, the safety aspect is very important. So that FIA level of safety is designed for a Formula One car. We have 80,000 tires around the track. That's a tire wall if you go off the track, where most tracks have 10, 15, maybe 20,000. It was the largest tire reuse permit issued by the EPD in the history of the EPD for a racetrack. So we have a lot of tires, and it's been my nemesis. It's not been fun.
Yeah, I'll bet. So tell us about your track designer.
Well, the gentleman that designed the track is a guy by the name of Hermann Tilke in Berlin. And they have a staff of 350. Most track designers are a staff of one. And they have designed all the tracks in for Formula One, which is the highest level of motorsports in the world. It's actually the highest level of engineering in the world, even higher than NASA once was. For spaceships, Formula One is a higher level than that. And we are the first Hermann Tilke country club in the world and the first Hermann Tilke track here under construction in America. And the benefit is the technology with that much staff that goes into the track is unfounded. Most of the tracks he builds are $500 million, $1 billion, $1.5 billion. So they had called us and said, we are shocked by the press that you've gotten. We've not ever seen a track get this much press. And what had happened is my goal, my passion, is to be the only ground-up, green, sustainable racetrack in the world. It's an illogical statement, an oxymoron. So
yeah,
we were on CNN, Business Week, Gas and Energy News, Environmental Leader. I mean, you name it. We were in 40 news sources in 2 days. And so they called us up, and I basically said, your budgets for bathrooms is more than my entire budget. You're crazy.
Right.
And they said, no, we'll do it for a loss leader. And I said, you know, $50,000. And they laughed at me and got off the phone.
Yeah.
They called me back about 3 months later and said, we'll do it for $500,000 for a loss leader. I said, you know, I'm not negotiating with you. I've already got the track designed. I don't need to redesign it. And so we went back and forth and back and forth. We ended up at $62,500 on the track design. So it was a good story.
Wow.
In the end.
Wow, that's awesome. So you mentioned the first green, you know, track setup. I guess you maybe giving discounts to the new GT hybrid Porsche that's got. Have you read the article on that?
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I'd take it.
Wow.
In a heartbeat.
Well, $1.3 million, it's just a drop in the bucket. You
yeah,
know.
It is.
I'll buy two.
It's probably
my wife needs one too.
1.25 more than I have. So, you know, as it relates to green and sustainability, my philosophy is if we can be green and sustainable, what's everybody else's excuse? So, our entrance sign is solar powered. All the lighting around the track is solar powered. The toilets are solar powered. Hopefully the lights don't go off. the sinks are solar powered, the little electric faucets you put your hands under. All of the water that is around the, that goes into local or goes into the ponds, the retention ponds, normally goes into local streams and rivers. We hold that water and irrigate the woods. They said it couldn't be done, but we could not put the water into local streams and rivers. So it actually irrigates the woods and keeps it on site. We have guardrail that's around the racetrack, and it's all recycled. We actually have people taking that down in the middle of the night. And that was a joke. And it's all recycled. And, you know, our government, I hate to say, or I'm being honest to say, they're good at throwing away perfectly good products. So
yeah.
you look at it, and they're putting it up right now around the track. It doesn't look much different than any of the new stuff that goes up. I mean, it's pretty shocking. So some of our aggregates are recycled. We were going to use rubber tire chips for the runoff zones, and we still might do that instead of pea gravel or sand like you see.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of our recycle program. And then the tires, we're trying to do all sorts of different things to offset our carbon footprint from driving cars around a track.
Yeah.
So.
What have you? We had last week or 2 weeks ago, we had a gentleman that did rainwater collection from the roofing, mm-hmm. and used that for... You know, you can use it for anything, for watering or gardening. Or there you go. Echo V. Yeah. Robert Drew. I don't know if you've ever looked at that. That's certainly a green option.
Well, we have to dissipate 8 million gallons of water in 16 hours. We've got a surplus of water right now.
Oh, wow.
Because we have to hold all that water. We have 7 retention ponds on site, so we have to hold that water. And so we've got a lot of excess water that we'll use for irrigation and all sorts of other things as well.
Lake Lanier might need some of that water so you can pipe it over to them and
sell it to
charge
some people.
It. Hey, that might be the next business opportunity for you. So tell us a little bit about your competition. I mean, in my mind, I don't know of a competition. The closest to this that I know of is maybe VIR, mm-hmm. which actually started as a member type of a track,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know that it's done a whole lot there. How is it different than something like a VIR or how that started up?
Well, you know, in the research that I did in these, I did some things. I'm going to answer that question in a long-winded answer here because I think it'll give you some perspective on what the difference is between the various business models. I called all the country clubs, motorsports country clubs around the U.S., and then all the racetracks and all the people who thought they were motorsports country clubs,
right.
and said, what works? What would you change? Where'd you make mistakes? Corporate structure, tax structure, you know, organizational structure. What are your revenue streams? What have you sold? And what were the challenges? Blank sheet of paper. And I did that research, and I found that nobody has done it. The competitive intelligence amongst other racetracks is shockingly poor, and the consistency of the mistakes that all of these make are consistent. Hmm. So it's very much like, oh, okay, VIR did it that way. This
yeah.
guy did it that
yep.
way. So what I found is some of the secret sauce, if you will, in price points that allow us to do almost no marketing, sell $3 million in memberships, more than two of the country clubs that have been open more than a year have sold combined, or a couple of years, that is. And basically, you cannot be, you've got to choose your master. So you either have to be a country club and a track second, or you have to be a racetrack and a country club. It's got to be that perspective. So
right.
a lot of these racetracks that say, oh, wow, these country clubs are printing money. You know, a country club has upwards of 20 revenue streams. You can strip away 10 and it still pay its bills. And most racetracks have 3 to 4 majors.
Yep.
So they say, oh, wow, this country club is doing so well. We're gonna offer a country club membership. They know, you and I know, that the 20 days a year on a racetrack is a lot of time.
A ton of time.
And so they offer 20 days a year, and they'll sell a membership like we do, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. And they don't understand that 75% of the people that buy those memberships is their neighbor. It's not NASA, SCCA, those guys. It's mm. So they miss that entire demo because you put that guy or gal in front of you and they bought a country club membership with 365 days a year for
yep.
the same price. They go 20 days a year.
What
then,
is that?
Then you're
yeah.
spending
you're
the
done.
Whole time,
yeah.
you know, selling back. Oh, well, it's a lot of time, you know, it's worth the money. And they don't quite understand. So if you have that many days and you focus on the membership side, all of the other revenue streams fall right behind it. So it's really an opportunity for the garage rentals. We've leased out every single rental garage in phase one. We've more than doubled or almost tripled our projections after being open a year. And that is a very much of a cash cow in this business. It pays for itself in 2 3/4 a year, and it's a stabilization, almost like a bond in our business. And if you have access to the track with that many days, then those garages do well as well. Then all your other support revenue streams kick in. So it works out to be a lot better. So we are loosely related to a VIR. VIR is a racetrack that is got a country club component. Palm Beach, we're loosely related to. New Jersey, we're very, very loosely related to. We're more related to Monticello in Monticello, New York, Autobahn in Joliet, Illinois, Spring Mountain in Nevada, MSR Houston in Houston, Motorsports Ranch in Crescent, Eagles Canyon in Texas, those type formats. And with you, when you buy a membership with us, you get one at five other tracks in America. You get one at Palm Beach, MSR Houston, Miller Motorsports Park, Calabogie, iCar, and we had VIR in New Jersey, but they pulled themselves off, and I think VIR may come back on.
Yeah, that's a great track.
Yeah,
it is.
That's
a fun track.
Yeah.
So, when you said you have to either be a racetrack or a country club first, mm-hmm. do you see yourselves as a country club first?
Oh, yeah,
and
absolutely.
Then a racetrack, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, our dedicated 180 days go to the country club side, and the rest of the time is dedicated to track rental. So members come first by far, and then the racing community and people like that, they come second. Now, they're not treated as second, but our primary focus is the members, and that's what pays the bills and makes these clubs so successful and so interesting and so fun, is you have a lot of access. I mean, people just, they bring clients there to entertain their clients, and they do all sorts of different things that you normally wouldn't do. You go to a DE, to a PCA day. Love mm-hmm. PCA, love all track days.
Yep.
You're there 14 hours. You get 3 or 4 20-minute run group sessions if somebody doesn't crash.
Yep.
High strung. Gosh, am I going to get my 20 minutes? I'm only 3 times a year, and everybody's high strung.
Yep.
People crash a lot, all those different things. So it's a much more relaxed format, a much more fun format. So it's easier to get your neighbor to come and join, and because, you know, average attendance is much lower, 15 to 30 people on the track during the week and 30 to 50 on the weekend with all three memberships combined. Some days it'll be a third of those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's less intimidating.
Yeah. And then, and again, you've got a place you can bring the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
You can do a little bit of go-karting, and you can hang by the pool, and you can have lunch, and you can go shopping and make a whole day of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Great stuff. Great stuff. What would you say is if someone's listening to this show going, man, that sounds interesting, who is it that really should be calling and saying, you know what, this would be somebody that would join, or this would be a good match for them?
Well, you know, the funny thing is a lot of members don't even know that this is a good match for them. There's a lot of people that come and experience it that had no idea they had a desire to have fun in a car, a cart, or a bike. And a lot of times wives or women actually enjoy it as well, and it's surprising. So the main point that we go after, the main client we go after, is a sports car owner. And, mm-hmm. you know, our tagline, why buy a fast car that you can't drive fast? So that is a very good indicator that they're probably a potential member and they like to go fast. And, you know, you can drive on a country road and hit a tree, a dog, a kid, a person,
yep.
or get arrested for
yep.
it. And in this case, it just provides you a place to be able to drive on a country road in a controlled environment, and that's very safe historically. So our demo is very wide. There's 120,000 registered exotic cars within a 200-mile radius, and we have the second-best registered exotics in America because of all the states, and then we have the best weather to be able to facilitate that.
Huh. It's a great spot. It really is. Yeah. I mean, perfect place to have it.
Yeah.
And the Georgia Mountains, gorgeous. You know, you can take a drive, like you said, up into the mountains and not have that testosterone pulsing through your veins and feel like you had to go fast and up the north of Dahlonega, which has got some great roads.
It does. It does. And, you know, you stand out on the track, and you can stand in the center of the track, and right in the center of the track, you can see 340 degrees of the track, the big track, and about 70% of the car track. It is spectacular. You look over to the right, you see Amicalola Falls. It is very spectacular out there. We had the CEO of the AMA out there, and he said, there's nothing like this. I've never seen a track like this. It is, you know, we mimicked Spa-Francorchamps Eau Rouge on the track, which is a famous turn in Belgium. We mimicked the Nürburgring, the Carousel, which is in Germany. and you can just see everything. And a lot of tracks you go to, you can't. So you've got that mountain atmosphere and that picturesque surrounding. So it's very cool. And then another thing I failed to mention earlier is we have a private landing strip next to us that you can land almost any size jet or prop plane on. So it really expands our reach farther. The average reach on these is about an hour and a half is the sweet spot, but a six-hour radius is where you pull from. Now, we have members from California, the center for the L.A. Lakers. I can't tell you his name. He just flew in about 3 weeks ago and showed up at our place and said, I want to see it. And he bought a membership in three garages.
Now, I'd like to see the car that he gets into.
Well, he's having three cars delivered, two Ferraris and a Lamborghini, and I don't know how he gets
in
them.
How does he fit in the...
He's 7 foot 1 inch, and he weighs 300 pounds. When he ducked coming in the door of the sales trailer, I thought to myself, this guy is...
He's going to have to definitely do some counterweighting on the passenger side if he's going to have a chance at going around any kind of right-hand turns.
Well, he'll make one turn well.
That's right. The one turn, he'll be all right. No. Yeah. Well, this is great stuff. Is there anything that we haven't gone through that you'd like to maybe chat about or anything about the track that you think is really stand out?
Well, some culture things. 10% of our profits are going to go to ministries. We're going to be donating the track to teen driver training programs. Number one killer of teens is car accidents, and it's basically on-offs, braking maneuvers, things that are pretty simple. And those programs tend to fail. They don't work very well because the programs can't afford the asphalt, be it a parking lot or a track.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
they can't keep the volunteers engaged. So we're going to donate the track to the programs. And we are going to donate the track to the local law enforcement. And in trade for that, they're going to administer the program. So we solve the asphalt price situation. And then we solve the volunteer as well. And, you know, we're trying to do mentorship programs and internship programs as well to make it a more rounded out business and one that is greater than cars going around a track. So members can feel good about joining, that it's not just a self-indulgent thing, that some of their money is going to be going to hopefully, you know, make an impact in some different areas and make some difference. The track is very aggressive with elevation changes, as we talked a little bit about. We have more elevation changes than Road Atlanta and Barber Motorsports Park, if anybody knows those.
Sure, Barber's gorgeous, too.
Yeah.
You're going to have the sculptures like they have over at Barber?
You know, here's a funny story.
Drop $250,000 on a big old spider in the middle of a field somewhere?
Well, you know what the story is behind the sculptures, right?
Well, tell our listeners.
All right. So Barber Motorsports Park was built on a landfill, and during the zoning hearings, they said, this place is going to be crawling with ants and bugs. So the guy that owns Barber is pretty unique and an interesting guy. So when he opened up the track, he did life-size sculptures of ants and bugs crawling all around the track. So
yeah, he did.
And, you know, he's got sawed all the way around that track. It's like a golf course.
It is. It's gorgeous.
Spectacular.
Yeah, and if you go off, you're buying it, too.
Oh, you are. You will get a bill.
Yeah,
now,
big
I know
bill.
PCA, the first time they went there years ago, what, 6-7 years ago when they opened, they got a $40,000 bill for sawed, I think was the number.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then they billed that back out to the particular individuals that slid off.
Oh, man. I couldn't imagine that, Bill. That would make me pretty upset. But, you know, the track's got a lot of elevation change. It's got 6 blind corners, 4 passing zones, 5 with a high horsepower car. It's very technical. It's fast. You know, the top speed is 150 miles an hour in a bone stock 996 off the showroom floor. Road Atlanta's back straight is 142 in the same.
How long is the straight?
I want to say it is. It's got turns in it, but it's no braking, no lift.
Uh-huh.
So it is 200 feet, and you enter it at 55 in that car, so you enter it faster.
Yeah.
Than
not like Road Atlanta where you're coming in turn 7 and you're, you know.
Yeah, you're hard on the brakes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's what makes us a little bit faster, and our goal is to try to have a good fast straightaway. The next turn, turn 1, it drops 50 feet in elevation, and then you go towards the Nürburgring. You're at 100 miles an hour to the Nürburgring, and there's a little S's to the carousel, and you're 70 through there, and then you carry 65 miles an hour down to 102 into a high about 70 feet of elevation drop. And then you turn right and you raise about another 30 or 40 feet and you're at 108. And then you drop about another 40 feet and you make a right turn that's 80. And then there's a 5-foot rise to the next turn to keep that turn blind.
Yeah. And well, you better have some instructors out there learning the line. You're going to have
gonna
people
be
spinning.
Chaos.
Just put, that's why all the tires are out there. I know.
Yeah.
I know. I hear you. All right. Well, this is great stuff. So, and we got to have you back on. After the track is done and you kind of get things rolling, and we'd love to have you back on maybe with some members, mm-hmm. Come out, talk about you know, their experiences out there. We'd love to hear how things are going.
Mm-hmm.
But to end things up, I always ask a pearl of wisdom for our listeners, and not just necessarily track guys or what have you, but from a business in general, mm-hmm. what would your pearl of wisdom be to our listeners out there?
You know, I think it would be twofold. First is do the research, validate the business model, look at all the pitfalls that the other businesses have had, and don't make them. And so many people don't do that. They do not pick up the phone and call competitors and people who have been there and done it.
Yep.
You can save yourself a tremendous amount of heartache. You can save the business, and you can be much more successful, easier. And then the big part is always take the high road. And it's not always easy. You know, it's always trying to find a high level of moral or ethics that it's always going to reward you in the end, and it's the right thing to do. It's the thing that you should always do, and you can go to sleep well at night, and your business will be rewarded from it. You look at the good to great companies and all the companies that have sustained all these different economic climates, and all of them have very consistent a moral compass and ethical values that have kept them there. Because if you start to get shades of gray in different areas, it's very quickly to fall off the horse.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm fully capable of that. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
You know, that's my goal. That's the internal my internal drive right now.
Good. Well, great to have you on. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
If somebody wants to get in contact with you or has an interest in checking out the park, what's the best way to get in contact?
Atlanta Motorsports with an S, park.com or 404-933-3436 or email Jeremy at 100mphlunch.com. Jeremy at 100mileanhourlunch.com.
That says it all. For our listeners, thank you for tuning in. And until next week, be safe.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA. SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation.